Blog Talk Radio.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
I don't agree with them. I'll prove them wrong. But right is what you're proving them. Take care.
seas before I leave for what I'm saying, or we'll all be on our knees praying.
Heavy deep, deep in the heart of the matter, the self-destruction is served on a platter, making a day, not failing to anticipate. They got greedy, so they fell for the bait. That makes them a victim, picked and plucked. New jack in jail, which is the best they ever duck. There's no one around, cause in jail you're a number. They never took the time to wonder about
self-destruction.
Another Sunday night here on Dollhouse Radio, and you know when it's 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it is Urban Society time. I am, of course, one of the hosts here on Urban Society. This is James Acevedo, and my other host, Cobra Commander, he's on the other line waiting and anticipating for a great show. And trust me, we do have a great show tonight. A lot of great topics we're going to let you in on real quickly. This is the start of a new era. It's going to be awesome. So without further ado, let's get to the Dollhouse Radio announcements and let's start the show off. So let's hear Angela Royale and her Dollhouse Radio announcements.
You are tuned in to Dollhouse Radio, the hottest station on the net. We air live 7 days a week with 17 shows hosted by the sexiest hosts. Find out more about the Dollhouse Radio family by visiting our website at www.dollhouseradio.com. Find out the latest celebrity and adult entertainment gossip and indie music news on our Hot Sugar blog daily. We are looking to showcase the hottest in indie music this year. Interested in getting your music in rotation or having your video featured on our website? Be sure to send your music submissions in to dollhouseradiomusic@gmail.com. All music submissions must contain a bio or one sheet, promotional photos, and your music in MP3 format. Businesses and promoters looking to advertise your brand or event on Dollhouse Radio? Email your inquiries to Head of Promotions at Brian, that's B-R-I-A-N, dollhouseradio@gmail.com. Interested in joining the Dollhouse Radio family? We are looking for an in-studio co-host in the NYC area. Must know pop culture and entertainment gossip. We are also looking for a co-host for Beauty and Beats, airing every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Must have lots of personality, have a love for beauty and fashion, knowledge of music culture is a plus. Email dollhouseradio@gmail.com for more information. Got a hot morning show idea? Email your concept to dollhouseradio@gmail.com and you might be the next Dollhouse Radio show on our roster. Our Spotlight Artists of the Month are Sheree Laree, Nuria Afonso, Heroin, Raphael, Carla Page, Young Peach, and Mila J. Coming this spring, Launchpad Radio returns, hosted by the legendary Ian Burke, and our new show, Truth Front to Back, premieres. Keep up with everything Dollhouse Radio by following us on Twitter at @Dollhouse_radio. And now, back to your program.
Thank you, Angela. That's Angela Royalty, Miss Royalty. That's actual Angela Royale. Yes, and you could check her out. If you missed earlier this evening with Beauty and Beats, shame on you. But you can always check them out anytime. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/Dollhouse Radio. You go to on-demand episodes, and you can check out Beauty and Beats anytime you want, along with the other 17 shows we have in store for you here on Dollhouse Radio. We're always having live content for you 7 days a week. So go check it out. And by the way, Beauty and Beats comes on every Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here live on Dollhouse Radio with Angela Royale and her co-host, Bianca Moore. Without further ado now, as we get this Urban Society started, is the other host of this great show. You've heard him before. He's on Vamp City. That comes on Monday nights at midnight here on Dollhouse Radio. And he's also part of this show, which we'll get started right now. So here he is, the one, the only. I give you Cobra Commander. Cobra, are you with us?
What's going on, man? What's going on?
How you doing?
Excellent. How you doing tonight, brother? Let's jump right into it. I don't want to talk no Twitter handlers. Let's get it. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go, man. That's what it is. Time is money and money is time. And on this show here, we want this to be very important for all y'all because we want to wake up people, let people know what's going on in the world because a lot of people are sleepwalking. Let's be honest. A lot of people, things are happening in front of them before their eyes and don't even know it. So, my friend, let's get started. What are we going to talk about first? We have a couple
of
topics.
I'm gonna talk about right up front. It was just the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of Selma, well known as Bloody Sunday. And basically, my question to you and to everybody that's listening: have we really improved as a society, as a community, after the 50-year anniversary of Selma? That's what I'm putting out there.
Yeah, think about that. Yeah, have we improved as society ever since what happened, which is unbelievable, 50 years ago, what happened in Selma?
Mm-hmm.
And Bloody Sunday was called because of all the people that basically got killed. And
exactly.
For the right to for black people to vote at the time.
Right.
Down there at that
as
time.
As well as to kill segregation.
Yes, which is the major thing also. And I think if we talked about this off the air, Cobra, I think it's gotten even worse, and I tell you why. And it's because now we've had this freedom for quite a while, quote-unquote freedom. We've had this for a while, and as you've seen every decade, it seems like our communities, whether it's the black community, whether it's the Latino community, just communities of color, period.
Mm-hmm.
It has deteriorated. There's no more of togetherness as far as being united and wanting to improve society. It's a lot of me, me, me. I want to get the new cell phone that's out. I want to get the new Xbox One. I want to get all this stuff. Meanwhile, your children are home starving, or you know the light bill's not being paid, or it's just a backward mentality that's been getting worse and worse as I've been on this planet now for 42 years. And you're about the same age as me, but you're 41, right? 41 years old?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
So we basically, born around the same time, early 70s, and around the time was just at the Vietnam War, all this other stuff, which that's another totally different topic to get into that.
That's something. Yeah.
But it's basically gotten worse where, at least back then, trust me, back then was horrible. Back then was just in your face, bigotry, not basically don't want us to move forward, want to keep us back, not allow us to vote, not us to integrate with the rest of society when it comes to schools, jobs, what they have you, places to eat, places to go to watch a movie. I mean, think about that. It wasn't that long ago.
Well, you really think about it. Think about it is it was a forced segregation that we had to pretty much get our own. But the point of the fact is my mindset is on the same level as you. Once we in segregation, we was able to vote. I was looking up some stats today. People marched to vote, and now in the urban community, only 38% vote. It's really to a point of it seemed like it was futile to even go to that extent because people are not even exercising the so-called freedoms they have.
Yeah, I mean, I could go another level where, because I ain't gonna lie. Because you know me, Cobra, We don't lie. This is what this part of how we are, not only on this show, but on Dollhouse Radio, period. Right. I have never registered to vote.
What?
I have never registered to vote, no.
For real? You don't want to know. You are that 60-some percent that is exercising their freedom.
Yes, but I can see why people would jump on me. That's a response I expected. But it's just, it really is hard for me to, only because it's just that it seems like most politicians, they don't give a crap. It's like once they get into office, whatever they were, the politics, whatever they were campaigning goes out the freaking window. They're in power. Okay, now I can be a fat cat, screw everybody else. And my vote didn't matter for nothing. That's how I
think about it. But you can't look at life in that manner, because the thing about it is they want – a lot of these fat cats are capitalizing on the fact that you feel that way. The point of the fact is, yeah, I understand you saying it was one state campaign, they promised you the world, but when they go into office, it's a lot of times even the best-hearted politician who truly have the best intent, once they get into office, they learn what the game really is. And the thing about it is and how they have to maneuver – within that political structure. Now, you may have all the hearts in the world thinking you're going to change the world, but once you're in that position, it's like now you have to go learn the paperwork. You have to learn who to snooze with, who's to snooze with, who can move things better.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing about it is you still have to exercise. To me, I'm more cynical than you. My father said either you choose the best of two assholes, but at least to choose the light asshole that you could get, the asshole you could deal with. It depends on what you feel and how you feel about it. But ultimately, these people in Selma and other parts of the world died for your opportunity to do so.
Well,
and the thing
right.
about it is you have to respect. And I'm not saying I'm not getting on you. You know, you my brother. And you know, but the thing about it is that we have to enlighten other people that because your 68% vote don't count, you can't bitch and moan what's going on in your community. Is you didn't even goddamn pull a knob to try to change something. You know, man, we ain't got no jobs. Fuck, you ain't voted in 9 years. What you complaining about? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's why I try to tell people, even if you just pull the knob and you think, man, you know, Bush was this or that was that, because a lot of people would tell me, I'm about to be scandalous now. I didn't pull the knob for Obama. I actually voted for the other guy.
Oh, really?
Yes,
now,
I did.
Now, this I'm interested. Which, hey, you have every right to choose whoever, you know. I just want to know, what was your viewpoint of choosing the other candidate?
I chose the other candidate for the plain fact is, I'm going to keep it 100 to you. At least the man was honest. Even though it was part two secretly on the tape that he said 40-something percent of the people we don't worry about. In reality, it's really 68% of the people he didn't want to worry about. They're not even voting.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people that do vote. You got to get their vote. So the thing about it is, people will get mad at me and I'm going to say it as a black man. I believe Obama was inherited a shitty end of a stick. He did the best he could. But on a presidential level, he was doing more like a fundraising for the country rather than a presidential. And that's just my opinion. And a lot of people, oh, my God, it's probably going to be, oh, my God, he's talking about Obama and he's black. Well, you know what? I'm critical of every damn body. I'm critical.
Of course.
I hate it.
I could care
less
what color
of Bush.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm critical of Bush ass. I was critical of Clinton.
What?
I'm critical, period, because the way I look at it, what I'm voting for, who I'm voting for, affects me on a personal level. So I have a right as the people. People don't get, even though he's the president, he works for you. You're the boss. So you have a right to review him. You have a right to say what you think of that, you know? And that's the way it should be. But most people would put these men in positions of power and start to think, well, we can't do nothing. He's there. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you don't like his policy, remove him.
Yeah, well, it's just that it was a perfect example with Obama, you know, and we'll get back to Obama real quick, is that you know, there's a lot of people standing in his way. So you have those other guys that are there, you know, the oldest people in Congress, those senators that, that seem like they never go away, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, they should be – see, this is the problem.
It should be a time limit.
There should
be a time limit on that.
For people. It should be the same.
Yeah.
It should be 4 years for everybody. That's what it should be.
You should, not, you should not have the same senator for the last 45 years.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And think about that. Now, think about that. They have
right.
that same mentality they were when they were in their, you know, for early 40s, whatever they were when they got to be a senator. And now they're like, uh-huh. you know, 80 years old, you know, wrinkled, you know, looking like an old prune. And they have this mm-hmm. same closed-minded way of thinking. And then this is why nothing gets done. And this country, the problem is, you know, we're supposed to be together to work things
mm-hmm.
out. It's
mm-hmm.
now turned into a sporting event. Come
to
those
the
Democrats. You know, no, don't go to those Republicans. And it's vice versa. Well, don't go to those Republicans. Go to the Democrats. Wait a minute. Ain't you supposed to be guys getting together to make the country better?
And what
other
thing about it is,
I
agree.
You know?
I agree with you on a certain point. I agree there should be a line on a time frame on the Senate.
Oh, yeah.
Because
be.
The thing about it is, when I saw a senator, I think it was the senator of Nevada, roll up in a wheelchair with a respirator on his mouth.
I mean,
I'm like, how the hell you been there that damn long that you went from young man to damn near 90 in the same seat? But the thing about it is, it's the powers that be and people not voting this person out. And he has the same mindset he had in 1953 than he
mm-hmm.
has right now. How you expect to change? But I'm a disagree on one thing, standing his way. But that's what your executive pen are for. He haven't wrote no executive decisions himself to the end term now. Goddamn Bush have damn near wrote 200 more executives over Obama in his whole term. His term about to be up. That's what your pen is for. If you don't like it and you're standing your way, you know what? Fuck you. I'm writing this in. And that's how you do it. And you write it in. That is your presidential way of writing laws into statements and
mm-hmm.
writing laws into set, because actuality, because the thing about it, you can, and they can veto, they can try to overturn it, but that's what your veto card is for too. So
mm-hmm.
you see you can do these things. And like I said, going back to Selma, here's the thing. I hear people always say, well, we got a black president, we can too. Not really. You got a black man in office, but still people are dying every day. They just took this kid in Wisconsin. Just the
yeah.
other day,
yeah,
and
I know.
There's other people still dying in the streets, and it is. They said, well, if we put cameras on them, well, shit, we've been taping them for the last year and a half. They smiling with the bodies and the guns in the hand. Check your
yeah,
they, you know,
they're
what,
acting
what,
like stars on the red carpet right now. You know, like, hey,
exactly.
You want autographs?
You want a picture? Take a picture of me whooping this dude's butt. You know, and it doesn't really matter, because
yeah.
the thing about it is, it's just. We as a people have to be indignant. I heard, I think it was India that said it. She's
mm-hmm.
tired of the goddamn marching. The marching ain't doing nothing. And
yeah,
she's absolutely right.
She's
just,
right.
You know what the white people looking, I'm going to say it, and God forgive me, y'all may get upset what I'm saying. The white people say, let the niggas walk. They need some exercise. They don't care. They don't care you marching. They don't care. That don't matter to them, because your marching ain't changing nothing. Ain't changing no rules, ain't changing no laws, ain't changing nothing. You just walking up and down the street with I can't breathe or hands up, don't shoot. That don't mean nothing. Nice T-shirt, and they keep on moving.
Yeah.
And one point, you know, and that's it. Because the point of the fact is, unless you're going to change the laws and
that's
fight
right.
to change the laws, that marching don't do nothing. The difference between the people in Selma and people today, they were marching, but they were going to the polls. They were going fighting. They were trying to change laws.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just walking just to be walking. They were trying to bring things in legislation so they can change it. So they can
miles.
Change it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
risking
the point of fact
lives.
Is, it,
you know.
It's the point of fact is you have to march with direction and determination to do something, not just to be marching, just to be marching. You know. And
that's
real.
That's true, and that's a perfect segue to our music break. By the way, you could call us to this Urban Society Extravaganza, and trust me, this is not just for us.
I like it.
Yeah, Urban Society Extravaganza. Trust me, this is not just for us. This is all for you. We want to hear what you think. You know, this is your platform as well as ours. So you give us a call, 646-595-4038. That's 646-595-4038. You press 1. That means you want to talk to us, question and comment. If you don't, all you'll be doing is just listening, which is fine, too. That's cool. Also, the chat room is open, so you can chat away. You want to be more discreet? Hey, we don't mind as long as you listen, as long as you give us your input. That's what it's all about here at Urban Society. We roll for you. It's all for you. This is what it's about. We want to make things better, you know? And at the same time, you know, have a little, you know, it's not serious 100% of the time, but, you know, we want to give it out there how our real thoughts, because this is how we really think and talk on and off the air, so it doesn't matter. This is how we are.
As my mama say, this is how you talk at the kitchen table when no one listens. That's how we want to talk. You know, you want to talk real. This is rated real. You want to talk like you, no one listening to you. And
exactly.
that's where a real conversation comes.
Absolutely.
When you're talking, and that's how we want it. So, go to the music. What are we singing? What are we doing?
Yeah, well, we're going to the music break right now. I feel like Casey Kasem, man. Coming in number 5. Anyway, this is going to be Young Peach, a gentleman actually that Heaven Hollywood interviewed in studio on the Heaven Hollywood Digital Experience, which you could catch Monday nights. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Dollhouse Radio, YouTube TV, and I'm the producer of that show. Awesome dude, this guy could rhyme, and this dude, I think he's only 23 years old. He has a lot of, he's definitely a smart dude, and I hope this guy definitely takes off. By the way, that's the name of the song. It's called The Takeoff. I didn't even mean to do that. Long Island, locally, yeah. Young Peach, check him out. The Takeoff here on Dollhouse Radio. Young Peach, The Takeoff. Let's check this out.
Awesome. So I think I take a chance when you get a chance to see something like that. My man, come on up here and sing a song for me. For real. You know, you smooth. Now you can do the weekend rappers. Nursery rhymes. We don't care what you got. Just bring us something to the table. He's looking at me. Come on. He got something.
The Takeoff. The Scuff. Whoa. Don't steal my lane. Go. Let's get it. Young Beast, that's my name, world. 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 Welcome to the show. Whoa. It's time to go. Let's take off. Let's go. Yeah, let's get it. Born in Jamaica, tell me who gon' stop me. Born in Jamaica, tell me who gon' stop me. Seen a lot of girls, man, they wanna top me. And you see the foreign, the top will drop me. Young Beast City drop, that's the move. The takeoff here, now let me go. I'm reppin' Long Island, if you never know. Born in Jamaica, man, I live that life. Choppers on my lap every day and night. See me in the streets, nigga, what it do? Long Island, Southern State, 32. No pen, nigga, this is off the dome. Indyville, don't worry, I'm coming home. Take a chance when you get a chance. Yeah, you need to do that. Take a chance when you get a chance. To take off, I need to do that. Yeah, Young Beast, bitch, I'm back on it. Bitch, I'm back on it. See the track, I put my stamp on it. Yeah, I do it. Freestyling, man, it's nothing new. I love Southern 32. Northside, baby, what it do? Young Peach, I'm making moves. When you see me, dog, you see me. Lot of kids wanna be me. Long Island, I'm the genie. Shut down my homie Beanie. Maestro, hold your head. I know them papers coming through. Trust me when I say that, dog. Everything gon' be alright, dawg. I ain't stopping till the beat stop. I ain't stopping till my heart stop. I ain't stopping till the wheel stop. And I ain't stopping till my girl stop. Young Beach, man, I've been a beast. Long Island on the far east. They love the boy Young Peach. 631, man, I run the streets. Yeah. What it do, man? It's the takeoff. I don't need to write it. You just hear it. That's how we do. Philadelphia, I see you, man. Yeah. Young Peach. Southern State 32, what it do? This is not a dream, but it came through. I do it. This is what I'm living. My life, music. Take off, we here. And now we gone. Gone, gone, gone.
Radio. That was Young Peach with the Takeoff. Yes.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. What it do? Yes. you could call us here on Urban Society at 646-595-4038. That's 646-595-4038. The chat room is Opion. Let's see if anybody's in the chatty room want to chat away. You know, just let us know. I always read what goes on in the chatty room. So you have any things you want to say that you want to say on the phone, it's okay. Just chat away in the chat room. The chat room is open if you want to talk to me or Cobra Commander. Now, back to the subject again with Summer. And you were saying before we went into commercial break with
Well, I'm just saying you have to be willing to put your neck out. If you want change, you have to fight for change. Malcolm X said it best, to fight for freedom is sometimes death. You have to fight and be willing to die for your – the people of Selma was willing to die. Today
yep,
in 2015, I can't see these young people having that will and that drive to want to change something so much that they're going to be willing to even go to the point of possibility of losing their lives. See, the point of the fact is if you want complete freedom, you have to be willing to go. I'll go back and say, even when it was back in slavery times, those men got into the Civil War still not having any rights, but they were willing to fight for their freedom. Fast forward to the 50s and 60s, willing to fight for their freedom. Now we come to today. Today we are too distracted. Like what you said, by trying to get the things, the I syndromes about their lives. And they too busy trying to get those big cars and those big rings and those big
that's
things.
The problem.
And they not thinking about, okay, those big things, you got I, but the thing about it, you're leaving other brothers. And if you do get those big things, teach other brothers how to come up and get those things.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, I got it, you go get it. Well, how did you do it? That's none of your business. What you mean is none of my business. You went and did the grind. You should make it easier for the next person who wants to grind. But the thing about it is it's that selfish mentality that infiltrates us. That crab in the basket, crab in the basket type syndrome. You know, everybody want to yank down and yank each other down rather than and just try to lift people up. It's easier to... As my father used to say, it's easier to lift a man up willingly than to grab at him and try to pull him down while he's fighting you.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think one of the major reasons why this the mentality is not there from our generations and from generations past, and that was totally different, is because the male is not present in these children's lives because of the way things are. You know, there's no two parents in the household. You know, the man is looked at as always the dickhead. Now, let's be fair. There are guys out there that are not real men. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
They are men, but
so
not
true.
All men. There are men out there that go out, they're father to the kids, they work 2-3 jobs, you know, they basically have no life on their own. Sometimes they just, you know, when they get home, all they want is that beer and at least 5 minutes of quiet, at least something, because because there's, you know, they got the woman in their ear, what you gonna do now? And meanwhile, you know, the father's doing everything he can. But nowadays, for some reason, we are looked at as the second class
people. Expendable. We're expendable.
Yeah, we're just expendable. Like, whatever, we're there, you know. All right.
But
so,
well, the thing about it is, I won't even go there and aspect saying we're a second class citizen. It's just I'm saying the father is one issue, but I'm also going to go a little bit deeper. I'm saying big mama and big daddy ain't there no more. Grandmas and grandpas are like 40 years old, 41. There's no older generation to guide these young people. You know, if you got grandma that's 46. 48, daughter that's 32, granddaughter that's 16.
Yep.
Where's you see what I'm saying? There is no wisdom there. It's damn near sisters. You know, they're all in the same age bracket. So the point of the fact is we don't have that big mama no more. You know, I had a grandmother when I was damn near 15. My grandmother was damn near 80. And it was a joy to be around her because she gave us life experience from her point of view then to now. And it was like, wow. She said, I remember this, you know, when they came with the first car. What? The first car?
I mean, think about that.
What?
Now, that's something, I mean, you can learn a lot from a person like that actually, you know, they lived through everything. And that used to be respected. I mean, we respect it. But as far as, you know, people in general... Nowadays, and when I say kids, I'm even going into like young adults, you know, late teenagers, early adults that just look at people around our age or older as, well, we don't know nothing, we know and you don't. Now, let's be honest, when we were teenagers, we thought we knew everything, but we weren't disrespectful like this.
Oh, but the thing about it is we knew our place. You know,
exactly.
We knew our place, and we knew that when we were teenagers, we had parents. You know,
thank you.
I like I said, 15 years old.
Uncles,
15
you know,
years,
godfathers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know?
And I was 15 years old and had an 80-year-old grandmother.
Exactly.
But I also had a 45-year-old mother and father at 15. You see what I'm saying? So they were grown as women and men. They were adults. You know, you should not. As my father said, the day I'm in the club with my son is the day I stop going to clubs. Because the plain fact is, I should not be in the same environment with my child. I should not.
But that's the problem.
You see it all.
This is the problem.
But you see it all the time. Grandma going out with mama. They both going to the same club, man. It's the mentality of the communities, and it's just not happening. Black, this community of color is so warped now that they don't see the warpness. The warpness has become the norm.
Yep.
It has become the norm.
That's the problem. We, you know, kids are having kids, and they're not using their authority that they are as parents to discipline their kids. They want to be liked. They want their kids to like them. No, don't get me wrong. You want your kids to respect, you know, to like you and respect you. So that way they could talk to you about anything. But you should be straight up and tell them that. But when it's time to put your foot down, they shouldn't be laughing at you and go whatever, because that's your fault. You start that when they're young, when they're babies.
Exactly.
And you put it in their head from that moment on that look, you know, I brought you in this world, I could take you out. You know what I'm saying? That's the way it is, and you're supposed to respect. You know, I'm here. I'm being a great parent to you. I'm doing whatever I can. It's not like I'm abusing you, you know. And that's another thing which I always had an issue with. You know, nowadays they see discipline as child abuse, which to me is two totally different things. Like, how the hell do you compare child abuse, where a kid was chained up to a radiator, beaten to death, and malnourished for months, to discipline because the kid shut off at the mouth or stole something that wasn't theirs? How can you compare that? To explain
well,
that.
I, You can't compare that. You can't compare
exactly.
it. And it just reminds me of my mother. My mother used to say, you either take an ass whooping from me or you take an ass whooping from the county prison. Either way, you could take an ass whooping. You know,
yeah.
So the thing about it is, it was that stigma of our parents. Let's be real. Our parents were parents. They were
yep.
parents. They didn't give a damn if we were friendly. They didn't give a damn if you liked them. But we were going to raise you for these 21 years, and you're going to be a productive human being. I ain't got to be your friend. You ain't got to like me. And I'm going to tell you, as a son, at one point, I despised my father. Because the point of the fact is, he was a stern dude. He barely cracked a smile, but he was on your team. But he let you know, I will bust you in your face. But when I got an adult, when I went off into the Navy and became an adult, that was my dude because I understood what he was doing to get me there. And we
exactly.
make that transition from father and son to young adult and then friends.
Absolutely.
You dig what I'm saying? And so, and that's where it's lost at. Parents today want to be friends with their 8 years old. Well, you can wait on till they become adults to make that transition. You know, but they don't want to wait. They want to be you. Another thing I have a problem with, and I'm going to say this, if I see one more single mother, and this is only for a single mother, I'm not saying single mothers are all like this, but if I see one more single mother treat their sons like that's their dude or their man, that's my little man, stop putting that boy in a position like he's your boyfriend. They do this. I've seen it too many times. They dress them like little men, and then you wonder why they want to act a fool. It's creepy as hell, but they do it all the time.
Yeah.
They do it all the time. They put them in the position of young men, and it's like they damn near dating. I can't stand it. If I see one more Instagram where you halfway in a G-string and your son behind you, for real? That's how you doing it? Taking Instagram butt pictures with your son right there? And you're wondering why he gets 17 he's degrading women. He's seeing you degrade yourself.
Exactly. Bingo. That's a never-ending cycle of freaking ignorance that just
that cycle of self-destruction
just like
we always
that's
put
right.
upon
ourselves. That's right.
And you just have to understand that you have to be parents. These men and women that sacrificed themselves on that bridge were trying to make a better existence
for the
existence today.
Yeah.
For the future generation, we had this discussion earlier today. You should not be working from check to check. You should be working for your future generation and your legacies. You should be working for your children to live better than you and their children to live better than them. That's the cycle it should be. But now we're working check to check. But that's going into the second subject we want to hit.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell them the second
part. Well, definitely. We're going to go to the music break. And when we come back, we'll give a final thoughts of summer and get into the second topic, which is basically the financial structure in our communities, urban communities, which is all screwed up in a nice way of saying it anyway. The next break, our next one is a homegirl that I just love. I mean, her voice, the way she sings is awesome. I think she's the savior of music if she ever becomes mainstream. And that's me saying that. Yes, that's me, you know. It's Carla Page. This woman makes me feel better no matter if I'm mad or not. She puts me in a better mood. That's how cool her voice is. So this is Carla Page with Supernova. This is a dope-ass song. I love this song.
I
Carla
like that
Page,
song, too.
Yes, it's very soothing. It calms the savage beast, and we are a beast. Carla Page with Supernova. We'll be right back.
But I know you miss the old me. Boy, I have so much to offer now.
here on Dollhouse Radio. The phone number, once again, is 646-595-4038. That's 646-595-4038. And that was the great, multi-talented, the very lovely Carla Page with Supernova. Wow, I felt so relaxed now.
I want to find where I can buy that song. Yeah, that's nice.
No kidding, yeah. I mean, I was just full of, well, I'll be back getting mad in a minute, but I was just full of anger. And then I listened to that song, I'm like, wow, what am I mad about? that's how good Carla Page is. Shout out to Carla Page. You can follow her on Twitter, at underscore Carla Page, and she's mad cool. I'm a huge supporter of her, and hopefully somebody will discover her, and she should, I mean, she should be big time to me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So back to this, my final thoughts on Summer real quick. As I, 50 years ago, obviously, we weren't born. That wasn't too long that we were born after the fact, you know, like about 7-8 years later. And when I look through the research, you know, it's eerily similar when I read this, when they talk about the 600 marchers going over the bridge to go into Montgomery, and they had those Alabama troopers blocking the bridge, saying you can't come here. And they refused to, you know, the marchers refused to, you know, go back to retreat. So they threw tear gas and the whole hell broke loose. I said, damn, what does that sound like to you, what just happened not too long ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It sounded like
mm-hmm.
Ferguson.
Yep.
It gave me the chills when I'm reading this, and I'm like, nothing has really changed except for a little laws here and there. But other than that, it's the same shit, but worse.
Pretty much.
I actually got a tear in my fucking eye. Because it's like, what the fuck? All these people that have died, you know, and not just people of color. They were white people supporting these marches.
Yes.
Let's put that out there, you know. And they died. If you remember Mississippi Burning, you know, all that, you know, they were white people, women and men, white women and men that
children.
Died for this cause. Children.
And children.
Exactly.
Yep. Children was on that bridge.
Yes. It's sick. It's like, mankind, this is humankind? This is happening now. Still.
Well, the thing about it is, my friend, it's like I said, you did the research and I did as well, and to see the level of hatred, the level of dislike, the level of not wanting for change. Fast forward to 2015, you can see the level of hatred, the level of dislike, the level of not wanting to change. It's the exact same thing. Yeah, we don't have to sit in the back of a bus. We're not segregated. We don't have to sit and drink only out of black water fountains. Yeah, that does not exist anymore. But the thing about it is, as my father used to say, the devil never changed. He just gets better at it. The point of the fact is they then got better at it. They don't have to do it as blatant as it is now, you know, as it was back then. But if you notice, they're going back to blatancy. They don't care. And the point of the fact is we have to understand, if you want change, you have to register to vote. Hint, hint. You have to be willing to go out there and make a change. And even though you may think that little vote don't count, man, those people died on that bridge, and many other people died after that for that vote. So the thing about it is you show respect and you show honor just by putting your little tab and pulling that knob and saying, hey, I did this for not just myself, future generation, and for the generations that died for that. So pull that lever, baby. That's all I've got on it. Let's move on.
Yeah, well, let's move on. I do have to say one final thing, though. Even when have people, I'm just saying there has been few elections where it was kind of questionable where the voters voted count or not. 2000 presidential election, remember that, everybody?
Lord.
Ahem.
Bush stole it. He stole it.
Anyway, another topic, let's be honest. Anyway, moving right along. Now, the second topic of the night, and the final one, it's basically about financial structure of our urban communities. How can we improve the financial structure of our urban communities. And that is a big topic, I think a topic that should be talked about more, because it's we're our own worst enemies. That goes for all people of color.
Repeat that there.
We are our own worst enemies. We are quick to point the finger at everybody else, but when it comes to the bottom line, don't take responsibility for your own actions. Now, it doesn't mean everybody from our races are like this. I'm just saying most of y'all are like this, where it's more important for you to get that Galaxy 6 that's coming out soon than it is to put that money in the bank or put your money into some sort of investment to build your legacy. Chris Rock said it best real quick. There's a difference between rich and wealthy.
And wealthy. Yes,
Shaq
sir.
Is rich.
Yes, sir.
Bill Gates is
the man
wealthy.
That pays Shaq. He's the man that pays Shaq is wealthy. You know, here's the thing I'm going to say. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people of color, and let's be keeping 100. Me being a businessman, a lot of people of color don't even know what a portfolio is. A lot of people don't know how
what
to
is that?
Even
it's
begin.
You put paper in and
a portfolio is exactly. A lot of people don't know what a portfolio is. And a lot of people don't know that you can establish, like, for example, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go really there. So you bought your kids. You have four children. You bought all of them brand new Jordans. That's $200 a watt. You bought them an Xbox. It's Xbox One. That's $399. We're well over $1,000 right now. And you bought for dad or for yourself a nice 45-inch TV. That's another $300-$400. That's $1,500 that you could put in an investment of silver and gold within a 5 to 10 year ratio would turn over and be worth almost $20,000.
Bingo.
You see what I'm saying? That's the difference with building a legacy. That is the difference in you just holding on. That's that now mentality we all have. That now mentality, I have to have it now rather than being patient. And don't get me wrong. I say never invest in dollars. Don't put your money in banks because guess what? That dollar is not worth 2 cents, and I'm going to keep it 100 to you. The thing that you want to invest in, you never invest in anything that can be bought, burned, or disposed of. You invest in things that you cannot be doing those things. You, an aspect of bought, I mean, aspect that the dollar decreases in amount so much that it's not worth its actual dollar. The actual dollar, I'm guessing, I could be wrong. I'm guessing the actual dollar may be worth almost 35 to 45 cents in the international market right now.
Think about that.
And
think about that. Think about this. So, in other words, my roll of toilet paper is worth more than a dollar bill I have in my pocket.
It's almost on that level because you think about it is, your dollar is decreasing in value because you think about it, a lot of people, and I'm going to talk a little financial thing for you all, that all people out there. When you're, if there is inflation where they're making a lot of money, if they're making a lot of money, that means your dollar is worth not that much. But when it's called what they say is a deflation and they're stopped making money at the mint and it's a deflation in money, that dollar goes up. Now you think about it, they're making billions of dollars a day. How much would that be worth? How much is that worth? You know, you can print up money. Because and also if you look at your dollar bills back in the day, if you get an old dollar, you have it's a symbol on the side of the dollar. It's a black round symbol on the inside of that dollar. It will say it's backed up by a silver bullion, or you can get this much silver for this dollar. It's just that's a black mark on there. It used to be. Now that mark is blue. You know what that blue stands for? It's not. You can't get nothing with that dollar. It's not even backed by the Federal Reserve. It's not even backed by the Federal Reserve.
Think about that.
Because the thing about it is, it's not really backed by the Federal Reserve. What is that really worth? You see what
Nada.
I'm saying?
We should be nothing and then Spanish.
And so that's why I say now I'm talking about community structure. You have to be supporting of community stores in your community. So if
Absolutely.
You got a black-owned store in your black-owned community and that brother wants $25 for whatever you want to buy, don't go in there and try to short-stand him because you would not take yourself down to Asian people, Chinese people, Italian people and try to Jew them down. you pay that $25.95. The way that you have to look at it, if I support this brother in my community, that money circulates in your community. That's
yes.
why they have a Chinatown. That's why they have a Little Italy, because they keep that money in their area, that money constantly circulates in their area, that everyone can rise up from that money.
Bingo.
Here's the thing, and most people don't get. I gave you an example of this, and I'm going to give that same story. It was a young man I know that got into the hair business or making yaki weaves and get into the weave business.
Mm-hmm.
That's big-time money. He
oh,
found
yeah.
a way to get it. He found a way to get into it and start going to these Asian stores in African-American communities and say, well, I can get the exact same product you're paying 100% for 65% if you choose to go with me. That Asian guy told that young man, I understand you can save me $10,000 to $20,000 a year, but we only buy from our own. What that tells you? He's in your neighborhood telling you, I only buy from my own.
Yeah, well.
So the thing about it is, he takes that money back to his community. He's willing to take a $20,000 increase, but he's buying from his own.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of structure we need to have. We have
yeah.
to have that type of structure.
But instead, we take that and flush it away in 2 seconds to get that new Xbox One, a new PS4, those new pair of Jordans, you know, whatever. Now, let me say this. We're not saying
uh-huh.
that you shouldn't indulge, but
yes.
if you can afford to, that's
exactly.
the bottom line. We're not saying, oh, well, you should enjoy the reaps of rewards from your hard-earned money. We're not saying that.
No.
But if you are a parent, regardless of man or woman, in the urban community,
mm-hmm.
and you have a family to feed, that's number one. Like my best friend tells me, which is the truth,
mm-hmm.
when you have a kid, it's not about you anymore. It's not
exactly.
about you no more. It's about that kid. It's about that daughter, that son. It's about making sure they have food in their stomach, clothes on their back, and a roof over their head. And that's the bottom line. And if you could do it, where after you take care of all of that, you have a little extra money, you want to, you know, get a new TV or whatever, oh, fine. That's cool. But that shouldn't be your first priority, to get a new Escalade. Using your checks for stuff like that. Come on now.
Wow.
You don't
what
do
my
that.
Thing is, what really kills me is you buying your children Jordans and he walk around and here's his Louis Vuitton belt, but he's 19 years old and you can't even spend money to put him in a college or attempt to pay for college.
Mm-hmm.
But he's fresh to death. He's fresh to death down to his shoes, but he can't go to college and he has to get student loans, stop his student loans to make it. Well, the thing about it is that money used to make him fresh to death all them years. You could have been saving for college tuition to make him a college-educated, bachelor's degree, employable individual. You know what I'm saying? And that's what really kills me, because these people are so in, as what you said earlier, they walking around daydreaming, and they're daydreaming of what they want for now, what I deserve. It's what I deserve a lot. No one has the patience to go and put things in reserve. My father used to say, you can't say what you deserve unless you're willing to put things in reserve. To put things in reserve means you're willing to have the patience to and work and wait and work and to pursue that thing so you can make it. And see, that's what we lack. We lack this. I give it to the world itself. The world have made us, and as a young generation, as well as generation in general, a instant gratification to social person. Instant
yep.
gratification. They can instantly get their food. They can instantly microwave their food. They can instantly get text. They can instantly get everything. Everything is so instant. Their life is like instant. You ever seen this movie? And it's funny. I'm a reading this. Have you ever seen this movie with Adam Sandler called Remote Control? He kept on fast forwarding.
Yeah, I heard about it. But I saw pieces. I've never seen the whole thing too, but I know what you're talking about.
But basically, he was so impatient. He wanted to fast forward his life. Everything
yes.
instant. And when it got to a point, he broke his control. He couldn't stop it from instantly every time just fast-forwarding. Next thing you know, he's an old man, and life has passed him by. And that's what the society has made our children into, instant people. And next thing you know, they're 16 years old, tweeting and living life, and next thing you know, they're 28, 30, 40, and life has passed them by, and they're in the same position they were at 17, 18, 19, and 20. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to evolve, and that's the biggest problem I have with our financial structure. We do not evolve. We do not build a structure. Your leg up as a community, your foot in through the door as a community is to have some type of structure, to have some type of structure, some type of foundation so you can stand on. You want to live in a penthouse on a broken foundation of a house. You can't do that. You cannot do it. But, you know, I just want the people to understand that as a community, you have to build ourselves up. We have to, because you could take as many hands out from the government. They're giving you a handout just enough for you to survive that moment.
Yeah,
they're not giving you enough to keep going, to raise up. It's my dad used to say that, and it's funny. It's like a bad drug deal. They're giving you just enough to get high so you can come back and ask for more.
Exactly.
And as long as you're addicted, you keep coming back for that handout.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
What happened when the government say, I'm tired of handing you out stuff? Now what? You see what I'm saying?
No.
You have to have an infrastructure in your community.
Absolutely.
Where you're building up buildings. You're building up communities.
Businesses.
You're building up businesses. And I'm going to go there and I'm going to go back to Selma with this one. Back when we were segregated, we had to have those things. We had to have our own doctors. We had to have our own lawyers.
Think
we had to
that.
Have our own school.
Yeah.
We had to have our own thing because we couldn't use theirs. But when we got segregation lifted, I'm going to say it. As a community, we got lazy. And we like, we don't have to do that no more. And our infrastructure that we have once a foundation crumbled. And now you have hoods. You don't have community. You have hoods now.
Yeah, think about it. That's a great way to go into our next break. We are now approaching our third one. This is Kanye West, and this name of this song is All Day. I wonder what that means. Does it mean that he's doing something to his wifey all day that I would like to do? Yeah.
Oh, wow. For real?
Yeah. I'm going to hit that all day, and I don't mean hitting as in punching. I mean, you know what, having sex. Okay, Kanye West.
Wow.
Kanye West with All Day here on Dollhouse Radio, Urban Society. We'll be right back.
All day, nigga. All day, nigga. How long you niggas ball? All day, nigga. How much time you spent at the mall? All day, nigga. How many runners do you got on call? All day, nigga. Swish. How long they keep you in call? All day, nigga. Take you to get this fly? All day, nigga. Tell your P.O. how long you been high? All day, nigga. Now already know I'm safe from the shot. All day, nigga. Top, side. All day, nigga. This shade, nigga, shopping for the winner and the checks made, nigga. Ball so hard, man, the shit crazy, nigga. He ain't getting money that you got eight figures. But at Jesus Peace, man, I been say, nigga. Just talked to FedCon at Sensei, nigga. Told him I been on 10 since the 10th grade, nigga. Got a middle finger longer than the Kim, baby, nigga. I don't let them play with me. I don't let them talk to me no kind of way. They better watch what they say to me. Niggas still getting popped on the day to day. Yeah, I still got the 100 with a small face, nigga. Might spend 50 racks in my off day, nigga. You a fake Denzel like the all say, nigga. If you're running to me, better have off say with you a Rico Suave, nigga. Ride around, listen to Sade, nigga. If you ain't with us, you an our way, nigga. You a actor, you should be on Broadway, nigga. Did you do shit to Broadway, nigga? Your bitch got an ab, I'm a Broadway nigga. Late for the class in the hallway, nigga. You the dropout at it as always, nigga. As always. All day, nigga. All day, nigga. How long you ball? All day, nigga. How much time you spent at the mall? All day, nigga. How long it take you to get the fly? All day, nigga. Take your P.O. How long you been high? All day, nigga. Post some here and for my niggas that died. All day, nigga. And I keep a bad bitch on the patch of the side. All day, nigga. Now already know I'm safe for the shower. All day, nigga. Chop. All day, nigga. I can do this all day, boy. Woo!
I'm finna turn this bitch out. Any day, yay, in the streets, boy. It been a motherfucking draft. Don't really matter what I made, boy. You know I still go wild, wild. Like a light-skinned slave, boy. We in the motherfucking house. Right now, looking real stuff right now. I've been on the slide, like I'm off right now. Stupid niggas getting money for a stump right now. Shout out to Jackie Chan, I need a stunt right now. They be looking at the gram, I be looking at the Grammys like, huh, that's us right now. 24/7, 365 days, day by getting paid. Niggas looking at me like I'm worth both them J's. People saying, yeah, yeah, take it easy. 20 G's for the Yeezys off of eBay. Niggas do the most and they ain't done shit. Only way I can sum it up, some bitch. All day, nigga.
I took a young sweet breath and I reached into my shirt. Gave him what I had left. At that moment, I dispersed. At that moment, I dispersed. Peel up, peel up.
Like I said, I had a father who believed in teaching us financial money and financial responsibility. And the thing about it is, it's like by the time I was 13, I had a bank account. So when people were like, well, I got to ask my mom to go get money, I was like, I just got to go to the bank. They looked at me strange. Going to the bank? I was like, I thought everybody go to the bank, you know? But my father taught us at a young age that money, responsibility, credit, especially credit, people don't understand. If you got good credit, you can do anything, literally anything.
Yep.
You know, and the point of the fact is, he said your credit score. He taught us all that because I had a father who was a financial responsibility the financially responsible individual who will have a degree in accounting. So his idea of finances was basically putting into his son's head that not only do you take care of your money, but you take care of, he said, explain to you, your credit is like your word to the people abroad. If your word ain't good or your credit ain't good, people ain't going to give you or want to build business with you or do anything with you because you ain't worth nothing. He said, even if you have cash, cash can sometimes mean absolutely nothing. So the thing about it is that it was established to me around by the time, like I said, I had my first bank account at 13. You know, I was cutting yards and doing newspaper, the things that young people used to do back in the day. And my dad used to say, well, how much money you every week he used to go make a drop. And every week he made it us, how much money you all have? Well, I got $50, $70, $20. He said, you got a bank. He taught us how to fill out the slips and deposit that money. And that's what we were taught. Absolutely. And this was something that we taught as young men. And we, as people of color, and I'm not just saying black of color, we are not taught finances till we're put in position that we have to take care of our finances. Mm-hmm. Thing about it is my father went to a predominantly white university, and he said he saw at a predominantly white university, this was something that was taught to these children generational. They taught their children at young age money, how to work, how to use it, what it's for. You know, the thing about it, they taught them, and he said when he saw that, and he said in college, he said, I'm going to teach my children that. I'm going to teach my children what money is used, how to use it, what is used, how to be responsible with your money. And because of that, he taught us physical responsibility. So when I went into the Navy, I had a bank account. When I came out, I was able to buy a house because I knew how to save and actually make money with my money. That's one thing he taught me too: how to make money with your money.
Absolutely.
How to make your money work for you.
In other words, work for you. Yeah, you know, after a time you work for your money, it comes a point in time when your money should work for you, and that's where you go from being rich to wealthy.
Exactly, and the thing about it is, and that's what it comes in that structure and what you said, this is something you have to teach your children at a young age. This is something that you have to really instill in them, that that it is not only just you have to be responsible for your physical being, responsible for the if you bring children in the world, responsible as an adult and holding a job, but also part of that responsibility is how you handle your money.
That's
part of that responsibility. You think about it, because there's too many of us having babies and not physically or financially ready for it. There's too many of us that will pick, like I gave you an example earlier, and you laughed, and I'm going to give an example. My aunt might get mad if she hears it, but I'm going to say it. There's too many of us buying badass dresses to go to the club and keeping the tags on so we can take them back to pay the rent Monday. But you want to be in the club.
Yeah, right.
Saturday. You know, that's so irresponsible.
The priorities are all screwed up. It's all screwed
exactly.
up.
Their priorities are totally out of whack.
It's out of whack. And what makes that priority out of whack? Gee, it's something that's pumped out there, the propaganda that gets pumped out there on TV, on radio, whatever outlet you use, that they put commercials and this, that, and the third. Oh, this is what you should like. This is what you should do. Screw everything else.
Consume. That's what they teach us, to consume.
Let's be honest. When, ironically enough, when it's Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, who are the most people you see in Black Friday buying on all these sales? You know, because for Christmas time, whatever. Don't worry, I'll wait. Tell me.
Me?
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Spanish people, but all people come. And it's just like, it's like, all right, I'm just saying, and like I said, I'm gonna let everybody know again, once again, I'm not saying if you have the money to do it,
do it.
Good for you. But the main thing is your family taken care of. You know, everything is taken care of. You have food in the house, you got clothes on your back, you got roof on your head, check, good. Then from there, and only if you have that a certain amount of money, can you look into, okay, well, I can indulge a little. Okay, maybe, you know, we need a new TV or, you know, something like that, or a new washing machine, or even something, you know, that'll help around the house or whatever.
Or I even go deeper than that. My father used to do this every week. Once a week, if we saved up enough money, and the goal for his sons when we were 12, 13, and 14 years old, if you saved $70 a week and had that money to deposit in the bank, guess what we got to do? We got to go to McDonald's.
There you go.
See, we got to go to McDonald's to eat.
And that's a way to parent your kids as far as, like, you work hard, you reap the rewards. When you work hard, trust me, it'll pay off. No pun intended, but it will pay off. It will pay off. And that has to be put in early. But if the person that's supposed to teach the kid didn't get taught that in the first place, then the circle of ignorance continues. That's the problem.
And that's where it comes back to that instant stuff. The McDonald's, and I'm gonna go there a little bit deeper.
Let's be honest, that's all in our community. It's horrible food. Yeah, go ahead.
It's horrible food, but I'm gonna keep it 100. Let's keep it 100. And the thing, if you notice, if you go into majority of urban society, you'll find a McDonald's, a Kentucky Fried Chicken, church, Popeyes, churches. You'll find all the fast food. But if you go to a predominant white neighborhood, you don't find that many McDonald's.
Jeez.
You don't find that many Burger King. You see a lot of restaurants because they still believe they've given us that processed stuff, but they still eating out the ground. And a lot of people, that's just a whole different subject. I'm digressing.
Yeah, that's it.
But what
that's
I'm saying,
but
here's the thing I'm about to say. What we have consumed and gotten the mindset of consuming what used to be treats for us. You know, we ate at home. Mom cooked. You know,
that's right.
Dad went and got it. Mom cooked. What used to be a once a week deal, we go to McDonald's or we'll go out to a restaurant.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky, it has become a regular meal in these households. And
well, that's the problem.
You think if you got a family of five going to McDonald's today, that's 25, 30 bucks. A what?
$20 to $25
where you could take that money and go buy groceries with that, you know, and go buy food that can last you 2 or 3 days, maybe.
See, but this is the thing, too, which is kind of when you have, even if you do have both the mother and father there, nowadays, and it's been like that for at least the last 20 years, you have both parents working. So when they come home, they don't want to deal with cooking in the kitchen. So that's where comes the microwave foods and the McDonald's and all that other crap.
I combat that. I say that's not true because both of my parents work. And you know what my mom taught our ass on the weekend? How to fucking cook.
That's right. There you go.
To cook
excellent. Excellent point. There you go. Excellent
you know, she taught us how to cook. And it wasn't she didn't expect no filet mignon, but we knew how to thaw out a chicken and put it in the goddamn pot and boil it and season it. We knew how to do that.
That's right.
The stuff we didn't, and the stuff we wasn't too good at, we knew how to make a couple vegetables and boil some vegetables. If we couldn't make the rice or the macaroni right, that thing we couldn't do, she'd come home, knock it out, dinner was served. Good job, boys. That's what she would tell us. Now, and the first thing she said, now you know how to cook, you're definitely going to get a woman. And that was things, lessons like that was taught to us. We knew how to cook for ourselves. We knew how to wash our clothes. You know, we knew how to clean our house and clean our room because our mother put in our mindset, you have to be able to well-balance husband. They're not teaching that today.
Dad's
job was to teach us how to hunt, save the money. Go break the bank accounts, be financially stable. Our job was to teach us to cook and be sensitive and loving, and so we can get a wife and be righteous towards her. They don't teach none of that today.
Just listen to the garbage that's called music now. And I'm not talking about the music we play here. I'm talking about the music in radio stations throughout the country. It's about, you know. I mean, you proved a good point about that song, which I never heard of. Was that about something about Bentley or some crap? What was that you said to me earlier today? Remember, it was some stupid song? Like, oh, it's blessed if you drive a Bentley or some crap like that. Like, what the hell? Like, what kind of crap is that? That's some, I don't know, it's just stupidness. I don't understand it. The bottom line is this. When I was a kid, I remember going to elementary school, they taught us in my elementary school, this is back early 80s, to open a bank account in my school.
That was part of the establishment.
They put that. And this is with Spanish kids, white kids, black kids. And now, which that's been gone for the longest, this is before, and mind you, this is just before the New York City Board of Education was corrupt, really corrupt. And they basically, once they started getting overcrowded, and they just wanted our asses out the school, regardless if we learn anything or not, they just want to keep it moving. It's very similar to the jail population. Okay, well, it's overpopulated. Okay, get the hell out. Okay, we need the space for these other motherfuckers, you know.
But the thing about it is, it's to the point now, they don't give a damn if you know something. As long as you can pass that standardized test and you can make that their levels to stay up at a decent level for the school, then you can. It's like one rapper said, Ice Cube said, they can give a damn about what you learn. It's all of what you can remember. That's all they give a damn. As long as you can remember the basic and pass this test, you're good. But that's going into the structure of your structure financially. Because once you financially have a structure, you can get more better education because you can pay for it in your structure. Yeah. You can get better teachers because you can pay for it. People don't understand the beginning of your financial structure can build the house on what you want it to be.
Exactly.
So if you want better education in your community, if you have the financial basis and structure for that, you can demand that. Hell, back in the day, back in the early 50s before segregation, we had teachers in our community. We had doctors in our community.
They lived in our communities.
Lived in our community.
Yep.
So the structure, you can demand things when you have the financial basis to demand. But if you ain't got a foot to stand on and you don't have no structure in your community and you wonder why Johnny is reading at a ninth grade level when he's supposed to be graduating, that's your fault. That is
your fault. Yeah.
That is your fault why he's reading at a ninth grade level. So when he sends off to college and they look at him like he got to be a remedial in college, you know, because he's not up to par to be in that college.
Exactly.
Or they send them to what I like to call, my dad used to call, the junior fuck-up college, which is junior college. And because you wasn't able to come 13th in.
13th grade?
Exactly, 13th grade. So you can, 13th and 14th grade, to get that associate degree so that you can go to the actual university. You know, actual college.
So you make believe that you really are doing something, you know. Whatever.
Exactly. And so that's the thing about it is people don't understand the beginning of all things is the financial structure of your neighborhood. It begins right there. And if you don't have that, stop fucking complaining. You cannot build something on sand. That's even biblical. You cannot build a house on sand. You have to have a financial foundation structure. And that's what most people can't comprehend. Your money, your community, the money you make in your community is your foundation to build.
And with that is where you leave a legacy to your family. So that way, when your children and your children's children don't have to work as hard as you did to get to that certain point, and that way it continues to grow, and then you be able to prosper, get more educated, and have the bottom line a better community, and that's the way we end this topic, which is perfect to me. Now, we're towards the end of the show, so I want to give out little promotions, you know, Twitter handles. You can follow me, by the way, James Acevedo on Twitter. At YankeeMan1973. That's at YankeeMan1973 on Twitter. I do so many shows on here, it would take like an hour itself. I have to do a separate show to tell you everything I do. So just follow me.
Hardest working man.
Hey! Yes. James Acevedo, hey! Too hot in the house.
Yes. I'm over Cobra Nation. You can reach me on Twitter on Cobra Nation. Also, on Instagram with Cobra Commander. And so basically we're going to give our final thoughts on this and let you know, and I'm going to start off. My final thought is this. 50 years ago, we had people willing to die for what they believe in, willing to sacrifice their families, their souls, their lives. And it propelled us into something that's supposed to have been greater. in the long run, we failed each other as people. We failed each other as community. So what I want us to do is to learn to not just structure your money, structure your life. Learn to pick each other up, and then you have the right to demand for justice, the right to demand for education, the right to demand everything, because you put in the work, the time, the love, and the commitment to earn that right. That's all I have to say.
That is awesome. That is freaking beautiful. And I totally agree with that. And my final thought for this evening's program is this. You have to open your eyes. And even if you weren't lucky enough to have certain family members teach you the right way of doing things, it doesn't mean that you can't still do them. You can still, as an adult, change that. It's up to you to break that cycle and pass it to your family members and to your friends, people that you love, regardless family, friends, what they have you. You can do it. You put the hard work. You sacrifice. You have to make sacrifices, but it's for a right thing, a right goal to do, and that is to better yourself, better your family, better your community, better your environment. Because if you don't do that, and there's not a lot of people like you as far as trying to make a better difference in society, then we're just in a whirlpool of despair. And it's never going to end. It's going to only get worse until that day comes when, the day of reckoning, as they say. So I say, I have an open mind. Learn stuff. It's never too late to learn. You could always learn something regardless. Just keep an open mind, be strong, and work hard. And hard work pays off, trust me when I tell you. And if you put your mind to it, anything is possible. I don't care what anybody says, anything is possible. Well, I want to thank...
True.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody for joining in Urban Society. I want to thank Joseph being in the chat room earlier before. I didn't get a chance to put that out there. I want to thank all of y'all who was listening. Next week is going to get even better. We will save the details because we would like to kind of... let that go. Let the next couple of days, we'll let you know on Twitter. Like I said, I'm at YankeeMan1973, and Cobra Commander is at Cobra Commander, but he had a typo in the Twitter handle.
Talk about my typo. Look up Cobra Nation. You can go Cobra Nation.
And don't forget the Urban Society page.
Yes. You got to hit the Urban Society page. It's at ManTable73. Hit that Urban Society paper. Don't be afraid to say what you feel, what you think. Like I said, this is rated real. We ain't gonna get mad at you. We just gonna tell you how we feel about it.
That's right.
Do you? That's it.
That's right. And with that, we'll see you next week, 10:30 p.m.
Awesome show. Hope to hear from you, man. Awesome.
Yes, it was awesome. And more to come, ladies and gentlemen. Trust me, it's only gonna get better when I tell you. Thank you, everybody. You all have a great night. We'll see you next week here at Urban Society, 10:30 p.m., and every Sunday here on Dollhouse Radio. Thank you, India Morrell, and the rest of the crew of Dollhouse Radio. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Ladies and tomatoes, yes.
Looking for these better days.
You ain't lying.
You know what I mean?
Who that?
OFTB up in this. Better day. Hey, better day. Got me thinking about better days. Better day, better day, better day. Hey, better day. Got me thinking about better days. Time to question our lifestyle, look how we live. Smoking weed like it ain't no thing. So even kids wanna try now, then lie down and get ran through. Nobody watches them clocking the evil man do. Faced with the demons addicted to hearing victims screaming. Guess we was evil since birth, product of cursed semen. Our birthdays is cursed days. A born thug in the first place, the worst way. I love to see the block in peace, with no more dealers and crooked cops. The only way to stop the beast, and only we can change. It's up to us to clean up the streets. It ain't the same. Too many murders, too many funerals, and too many tears. Just seen another brother buried. Plus I knew him for years. That's why it's family. But what could I say? Keep your head up and try to keep the faith and pray for better days. Better day, better day. Hey, better day.
thinking about better days. Better days, better day, better day. Hey, better day. Got me thinking about better days. Thinking back as an adolescent, who would have guessed that in my future years I'd be stressing to say the ghetto sick and corrupted. Plus my P.O. won't let me hang with the brothers I grew up with. Trying to keep my head up and stay strong. All my homies slaying yayo all day long, but they wrong, so I'm solo and so broke. Saving up for some Jordans, cause they dope. I got a girl and I love her, but she broke too. And so am I, can't take her to the place she wanna go to. So we argue and play fight all day and night, making passionate love to the daylight. Plus we about to get evicted, can't pay the rent. Guess it's time to see who really is your friend. Tell me you're pregnant and I'm amazed. So many blessings while we stressing, looking for the better days. Better days, better days, better days.